Grant us, O Lord, to hear your voice, and in hearing your voice, to love your word, and in loving your word, to do your will, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Messiah. Amen. Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. Have patience, there is no need to worry. Remember, remember that God has patience too, and think of all the times when others have to wait for you. This is a song that we sing at camp when campers mostly, although sometimes other counselors, are not being so very patient. When they perhaps wish that it was time to go play when instead it is rest hour, or when they perhaps wish that everybody in the bunk was ready to go to the snack bar but were waiting for someone who is still working on tying their shoes to get it all together. Or when they're just in general being sort of frustrating and want your attention when you're trying to do 347 other things in that particular moment. And the more often you have to sing it, the slower and more obnoxiously you sing it. So when I go back to camp every summer, I get to be the chaplain for our Adults with Special Needs group, and they are fantastic. And I get so much more out of that week than I do the other 51 weeks of the year. It's the thing that sustains me all year long. But they all know that if they are being impatient, Pastor Lorraine might have to sing the patience song. And I'll start off by saying, it's only Monday morning. Do I really have to sing the patience song already? Because it's awfully early in the week for the patience song. No, no, no patience song. No, we're fine. Because again, like I sang it nicely for y'all, but I really, really make it obnoxious. And it gets slower and longer. And in fact, Susan, who runs the program, will, in the middle of the year, threaten to call me if her daughters are being particularly impatient. She'll say, do we need to make a phone call to Pastor Lorraine so she can sing you the patience song? No, Mom, we're good. But it's hard to have patience, right? Especially when what we are awaiting is something that our hearts are yearning for and that we're so excited about. It's why, for the last month, the entire, you know, world seems to have been already celebrating Christmas, even though today is the first day of Advent. It's why people have already started saying Merry Christmas before Thanksgiving had even arrived. I was like, what about Advent? Forget the war on Christmas, there's a war on Advent. We don't want to wait. The Christmas commercials started, I think, right after Halloween, maybe even just a day or two before. Because they want to make sure that you have all the time you need to consider what you're going to buy and do the buying. They want to make sure that your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren have, or nieces or nephews or children, you know, children of friends, have the opportunity to really, really want the thing that they're selling and make sure that you know it in time that you can buy the thing that they're selling. That's the one thing they just have to have this Christmas. It seems like it gets earlier and earlier all the while. And it would be easy to be grouchy about it, and some days I have to admit I am a little bit. Like when I saw that the Catholic Church in my town had lit up their Christmas tree before, at the beginning of November, at the beginning of November. And I was like, you're the Catholic Church. You get liturgy. Like, this is the liturgy you all have been working with for the last 2,000 years. It's your liturgical seasons. Like, we haven't even gotten to Christ the King. What's with the tree? But it's beautiful, right? And it's pretty. And it brings a little hope and joy and light in the darkness. And that's sort of what Advent's all about. So I try not to be too terribly grumpy about it. But Advent is all about this longing and this waiting and sitting in that place. It's about not rushing out to buy the newest thing to fill that longing in our hearts. It's about not rushing to party after party after party to fill the loneliness that we feel. It's about sitting in the reality of the darkness and knowing that God is our light. And that's really what this text in Luke is all about today. Because Luke was writing to a community of people who had seen the temple fall, a community of people who were at war, a community of people who were terrified of the world around them. The Roman Empire was big and strong and had decided that they were not in anymore. They were not protected anymore. That their oppression was going to move from just sort of general lording it over them to actual persecution. It was a tough time to be living as a Jew in the world, and an even tougher time for those Jews who were part of this new sect that ultimately ends up becoming Christianity. And they were terrified. And so hearing these words from Jesus, being reminded that Jesus promises that there will be wars and there will be signs in the skies and there will be all sorts of people making all kinds of doomsday prophecies, and it might start to look like some sort of apocalyptic film, my favorite of which is Independence Day, because I love when Will Smith punches the alien. But Jesus's words say even when our lives start to replicate, start to look a lot like those crazy sci-fi apocalyptic movies that we assume won't ever really happen, but are fun to watch, that even then God is in control. That even then God is in fact with us. And so even though this part of Luke is really right there at the very end, and so it maybe seems a little odd to start the beginning of our church year with the end of the story, it's not as though we pretend we don't already know the end of the story, right? We know that this beautiful baby born in the manger grows up and saves the world by dying on a cross and being raised to new life. That is the glory of our faith, is that we never have to live as though we don't know the story, the whole story, that we don't know that God always has the last word in this life and in death and in the world to come. And so, this season, when we long and we hope and we fear and we worry about the world around us, and things seem very dark and very empty and very broken, we have the opportunity to consider not will we survive, will we be okay, what is going to happen next, because we know that God has this. Instead, we are invited to consider what it might mean for us, not just to think about the baby born in the manger, but to think about Jesus being born in our hearts again and again and again. We have the opportunity to think, if the kingdom of God is very near, then what does it mean to be people of that kingdom? Not the kingdom of the world. What does it mean to be people of God? What does it mean? What does it look like? How do we reach out our hands to one another? How do we care for the stranger and the orphan and the widow and those who are hurting and in need? How do we live out the love of God so that people who are hurt and angry and broken and scared. Feel the love of God through us. Because Advent is not just about remembering the baby born in the manger and getting ready for that celebration, although that's part of it. And Advent is not just about thinking about the world that is to come and Jesus coming back in all of his glory, triumphant over all evil, although that's certainly part of it. Advent is also about the here and the now. It is about the coming together of the past and the future and this present moment and thinking about what it is for God to live in our hearts, for God to continue to live through us. Because that is the promise. The promise is that through God's Holy Spirit, we become the hands and the feet of God. We become the embodiment of God's love in this world. Christ is born in our hearts, and the love of Christ is shown to others through us. And so this holiday season, go to the parties. Light everything up that you possibly can. Celebrate the light in the darkness. The hope in the midst of despair. But also do just a little bit of patient waiting too. Amen.